B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Sports Philadelphia, live from spring training. The whole squad showed up. The whole squad's there. Bryce Harper showed up over the weekend. Gene Segura's lost weight, as we've said. So many different things have taken place. And we're debating on whether or not the Phillies have made big upgrades, whether they've made okay upgrades, or whether or not they've made phenomenal upgrades in spring training. So you know what? Why don't we make this our poll question? But how can we best describe this? And you are listening to 975 The Fanatic WPN, Brilliant in Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Did the Phillies improve? Like, I know, like, what we talk about before, really even throughout spring training, is whether or not the Phillies have improved. And I think they've improved. The question is by how much? Did they make marginal upgrades? Did they make drastic upgrades? Like, how would you best describe it? And as of right now, I would think that they made upgrades. I wouldn't belittle it by saying they were marginal, but I think they have upgraded from what they have had before. I don't think it's slight tweaks. I think overall your infield's better. I think Rhys Hoskins is better. Well, Rhys Hoskins is the one guy that, Bob, I will tell you blindly, I will say is better than he will be he will be better this year than he was last year. He'll be more than a 250 hitter. He'll be more than a 365, 370 on base percentage. He'll hit 30 home runs this year. I don't think he's going to have a 50 home run year by any means, but I think he will be a much better player than he was last year. He's the one player that I'm holding out hope for. Scott Kingery, I think, will be better than Cesar Hernandez. And I am taking into account, as a guy that gave Cesar Hernandez more credit than other people did, I think Didi Gregorius is a upgrade over Gene Segura at shortstop. And I think Gene Segura is an upgrade at third base over Michael Franco and Scott Kingery. So I think overall your infield is better. Oh, by the way, best catcher in baseball still returns. Whether or not the Phillies give him $2.5 million more dollars, we'll find out.
That's unbelievable.
But oh, it's ridiculous. And for him to even say, yeah, whatever, if they pay me that, great. If not, no, whatever. I wish the Phillies had that mindset and were just like, not out with it. Here's $2.5 million more. You made us look pretty smart with our trade.
Yeah.
Welcome in. But overall, I think you have upgraded your infield substantially from what you did last year. Substantially. Not drastically, but substantially better.
Is substantially and drastically that far apart?
I think so.
Okay.
It's substantial. Is it like, did you acquire four all-stars? No.
You have a third baseman that's never played third.
Mm-hmm. But he's played shortstop.
A guy playing second who's started eight games at second base.
It's better than a second baseman who's never played center field.
Yeah, it's his natural position.
I mean, let's think about this for a second.
No, I hear you on that. Yeah, okay, good.
That right there, if you were to look up condescending in the dictionary audio bite on Wikipedia, it would be Bob going, yeah, sure.
I can't help how I feel. I just don't, I don't know.
But here's how you feel. You feel at least 5 wins fewer than I feel. Like, I'm saying it's like an 86, 84 to 90 win team. That's what I
said. 500.
And you're saying,
like 500.
You're saying 500, yeah. Which means that you really think sub 500.
No, it doesn't. It means I'll go somewhere between 79 and 82.
So they got worse than last year, potentially.
No, if they won 82, they got one game better.
And so then you're giving them at most one game improvement from last year, where they brought in a new manager who you hated.
I did. I didn't hate Gabe, but
yes, you did.
No, I do think the man. Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. I just feel like something's going to happen. I just don't. The bullpen still scares me. You don't have anything besides your two starters. I still have question marks about a guy playing third who's never played there before. You have no power except for one guy in your outfield. You really have no power on the team except for your right fielder. Yeah, I just...
Assuming that Rhys Hoskins continues to not hit baseballs.
Well,
if he returns to form, you have power there.
Right. Hey, if he returns to form, I'm wrong and all. I just have more questions than I do answers, which leads me to, like, around 500-ish.
Well, with the whole club showing up, it started the conversation more so to the effect of whether or not this team has drastically improved. Like, how good will the Phillies be? We talked about the win total last week. 77 wins was what one website predicted.
Yeah.
What did we say the number was at? 84 and a half.
Something like that.
So that's what I think Vegas is saying right now. USA Today has them at 85 wins, finishing fourth in the division. Like, this conversation has started up even more so now. Trey, because other people have added into it when you have everybody report for spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but to think that this team did improve. And I think the X factor in all of this is the manager. And I think you have a much better manager, much more proven. You want to talk about proven? You want to talk about resume? Didi Gregorius, you look at the injury history from last year. All right, we'll see what we get power-wise from him. I would say he hits around 25 home runs. I think a guy like Scott Kingery, you have to hold out some hope for a little bit. Rhys Hoskins, as I mentioned, he's the number one guy I'm holding out hope for, that he's much better than what we saw. Bryce Harper have a better full season, much more like he had in the second half of last year. He has that really throughout the year. That's holding out hope. But I think the guy that you don't have to hold out hope for, you can look at with a track record, is Joe Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he brings a much different mindset, a much different approach in that clubhouse from a leader, from a leadership standpoint. Because I know people want to talk about analytics with Gabe Kapler. Oh, he's all analytics. Well, yeah, because Joe Girardi's not that far off, maybe even more so into the analytics. Joey Binders, as they called him. I think overall, the impact he's going to have is going to come to leadership. It's not going to come to numbers. It's not going to come to even gut like some people want to hear. It's going to come down to a guy that just knows how to lead men. And that might sound dramatic or cliche, but I really believe that's what you have. I know that's what you have in Joe Girardi. Mm-hmm. And you can't measure the attitude a manager can bring into a clubhouse. And I'm not saying it's going to help him win a World Series. I'm just saying it's going to help him be better than what they were last year, which was only a 500 team. I think this team, again, not that it's all we're asking for, but they'll be playing meaningful games in September, and they'll have a big shot come the last couple weeks of the season at a wild card. I think because they've upgraded in their rotation, I think Zach Wheeler is an upgrade over Jake Arrieta. Because they've upgraded in their bullpen a little bit, not nearly as much as we wanted them to see, wanted to see them do, and they've upgraded their infield. I think they have made a lot of upgrades on this team, and I think all that will add up to a team that's better than 500.
Yeah, but the key term that you used when you started that,
yeah,
was holding out hope for.
Well, the only one I said was holding out was Rhys Hoskins.
Oh, I thought you said you're holding out hope for that Gregorius hits you 25 home runs, and you're holding out hope for.
No, my prediction is he hits around 25 home runs.
Okay. Yeah, I hope to God they win 100 games. I really do. I just don't have that feeling with this team right now. I don't. I can't get past. Okay, Zach Wheeler, upgrade at number two. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Zach Eflin was the number two last year. Is that, no, who started?
Pivetta.
Was it Pivetta?
Pivetta.
Pivetta, number two. My God, Trey's an upgrade at number two over Pivetta. I mean, nothing against Trey.
Well, you know,
at all.
I'm kind of accurate.
But, like, you know, I just, once you get past Nola, you hope Wheeler's what he was in the second half of last season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's hope. And then what? Like, and then what? I mean, your third starter is Mr. Tight Pants. That's a joke. You got Pivetta, you have Velasquez and Eflin trying to do 4-5.
Spencer Howard's going to be up by the midway point.
Yeah. And what do you care about Gene Segura anyway? Alec Boehm's been playing third after the All-Star break.
Hey, you guys just totally defined holding out hope.
The pitching rotation is improved.
Hope to me doesn't give me 10-game improvement.
All right, let's go through it. The manager's improved, correct?
I like the manager better, yeah.
The infield is improved, correct?
We have to wait and see. I mean, you're holding out hope that the first baseman...
You replace Cesar Hernandez with Gene Segura, correct?
Okay.
So the infield's improved?
Cesar, if Segura gives you 286 or whatever, okay.
The outfield should be improved with McCutchen back.
All right. Where is there a big difference between Hernandez and Segura as far as fielding? I'll say yes, since you're putting Segura in a position he's never played before.
Well, it looks like Segura's going to play third.
He's never played it before.
Well, yeah, but...
played yesterday.
Then Kingery is your replacement for Cesar at second.
Yes.
But you, yeah, all right.
Regardless, the infield as a whole, you would think, is improved, because there's no way Rhys can be worse. You're adding Didi, who has some pop, and you have Gene Segura now at the bottom of the order, which is a phenomenal place for him to be. So the infield is improved, correct?
All right.
The outfield is improved with the return of McCutchen, correct?
I don't know. I mean, 33-year-old coming off ACL that's hoping to be ready.
It's not worse. It's not worse.
Hmm. Well,
and the starting rotation is improved, correct?
I don't know. Why is it improved?
How can you say that?
All right. Here's how we'll ask the question.
You have a guy that you're holding your hopes on a guy that has won 9 games on average the last 3 years.
With the Mets. Wins, losses is not a pitcher's stat.
4 ERA.
All right.
Which is, what was Pivetta?
Here's how we'll ask the question. Trey, you can tell me this too. We'll do a fill in the blank here. I feel like it's the best way to do it. All right. The Phillies' offseason blank improved the team. Hasn't? Mildly?
Jamie, don't sway the jury here.
Drastically.
You just laughed at hasn't.
How could anybody say that hasn't improved?
So, Bob, you sound like you're someone that says it really hasn't improved the team. If you're saying they're 500 last year.
They've improved off of what last year's team did, but I don't see this anything more. Forget about last year. Look at this team at what it is.
Yes.
I think it's a 500 team.
You think it's a 500 team?
They were 500 last year.
Okay.
But they
improved.
Would you go so bold? Would you be so bold as to say they've mildly improved from last year, Bob?
You can put a team out there that you've improved individuals.
Mildly.
And it might not change your record.
Mildly improved.
I don't see it.
Bob, can I get a mildly improved Phillies team?
I'll go 83 and 79. How's that?
The pitching and hitting coaches
mildly improved. What do you want? Yeah, Jane, they're going to win nine. What do you want? What the hell do you want me to say?
You have to say
this looks like a 500 team to me.
Drastically? Substantially?
They improved!
Adequately?
You're giving me a migraine, Bob.
You're hoping.
Jamie's ears are bleeding.
Whatever.
All right, we'll see. You just admitted that they improved in all these areas, and then you said they're going to win the same amount they did last year.
On paper, yeah, it's improvement, Jane. We can do everything on paper. I don't see this being better than a 500 team. I'd say maybe 83 wins at the most is what I said. That's what I feel.
And we're not that far off. I'm saying like 86.
Mildly.
Well, then why are you fighting with me?
Mildly.
Because you're not making any sense.
Because reasoning is different.
I see them being about a 500 team. You have them 86. You have them, what's 86 and 7? 10 games over 500?
Yeah. Okay. I guess. Right.
I said about 4. So, okay.
But you're saying they didn't improve.
Mildly. We got mildly.
Yeah, I told you where the improvements
are. All right, I'll settle that mildly. Jeez. It's like pulling teeth, Bob.
Trey, you 162 and 0?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to put you down as our only drastically.
Oh, I already did. I voted drastically.
610-632-0975. We got Mike and Delran, Mark and Blackwood. We got T. Will coming up in a little bit later. We got to start fanning that flame again because I don't want this to be something that keeps on recurring, and it's going to be something that keeps on recurring. I'm going to do what I can to fight it. Trey, I'm going to fight the power. Mm-hmm. Bob, I'm going to fight the man.
All right.
And that man is Charles Barkley. Because he is championing a cause that I don't want to see championed around the nation and around the basketball world. Because quite frankly, it pissed me off. Dora, it was almost as annoying as common rhyming guys' names. That's almost as annoying as it was. We'll get into that in a second here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Big baby.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. All right, Sam, let's make it official. What is our Twitter poll today?
Right now we have out the Phillies offseason blank improve the team. And we have three options. Has it improved the team, mildly improved the team, and drastically improved the team? Early results so far, 91% are saying mildly improved the team.
So at least they've upgraded. And I think we needed a better descriptive word because that's actually the one Bob agrees with.
Well, okay. Did they upgrade the team last year from the year prior?
Yes.
All right. They lost one less game.
Yeah.
So, like, you can dramatically improve, which they did last year. They dramatically improved.
Right.
And they won one more game.
The only thing I will say
No, seriously, last year, look who they brought in. Realmuto, Segura,
yes.
Harper.
Right.
You dramatically improved the team last year, and they won one more game. That's just my point.
Right.
I'm looking at this team the way it's built. I don't care about last year. Yeah, they may have made some, but I just still see this being a 500 team with basically a rookie in center field, a 33-year-old coming off ACL, an infield where you have one guy out of position. You know, you have another guy starting at second that's never played there, even though it's his natural position. A guy coming off one of the most horrendous years that a four-hole hitter could have. Like, still two pitchers at most that you can rely on in your starting rotation. I just don't see it much better than a 500 team.
Well, I think a big part of last year was because of the injury from last year. Now, the counter to that is, well, you gave probably what? In terms of just last year, you gave what? $55, $60 million to guys that were 32, 33 and older. Most of those guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
But one of those guys that's included in that bunch is Andrew McCutchen.
You're severely underestimating the loss of Andrew McCutchen and what it did to that team.
But,
the wheels came off.
So, if Andrew McCutchen, they're not that good of a team. So, if you do it again this year,
leadoff hitter. If Andrew McCutchen played the entire season,
so how did you address it this year, James?
He's good. If Andrew McCutchen back,
okay.
He's good.
No
easily
offense.
For three more
on
wins,
that. But and you cannot rely on him for 145 games. There's no way.
You have to.
Well, then there's your sad mistake that you have no backup plan for a leadoff hitter and you didn't address it this offseason. If the wheels fell off so bad when you lost him, how the hell do you go into this season with him with a repaired ACL at 33 years old saying you're okay to go?
And you're also severely underestimating what another top end of the rotation starter will do because he will stop losing skids. They didn't have a stopper after Nola last year, who started out poorly, as we all remember. Another legit starter will stop losing skids, which this
You're
team...
You're hoping he's a legit starter. You
he
don't
is.
Know that... Why is he? Because you go back to he had a great second half of last year.
He had, like, one of the best in baseball, and if you remove, like, six of his starts last year, he has, like, a 2.9 ERA.
If you remove six of his starts. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, he... Okay. I don't know
you
why you think he's not...
29 games, you remove six of them, and... Okay.
He throws 98 miles per hour.
Good
All right,
for him.
Shout out to our guys
now,
on Twitch that are pointing out
that... Because he played for the Mets! Okay. Jacob DeGrom, who won the Cy Young, won 10
four
games!
ERA. Shout out
10.
To the guy on Twitch that's pointing out Bob's having this argument while wearing a Phillies hat.
Jacob DeGrom won
Thank
10
you,
games.
Okay, yep. All right,
and he
James.
Won the Cy Young. Wins okay. loss is not a pitcher's
That's
stat.
That's an anomaly.
It's kind of the way that happens now in baseball.
It's not a pitcher's stat.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, if you want to die that they're drastically improved, great. I just don't
you
see
keep
it.
Putting that in my mouth.
Are you voting
yourself?
Drastically or not?
I guess I would vote slightly.
So mildly is our
mildly.
Option.
Mildly.
All right, there we go.
I think there are 86, 87
And how do you cut your
team.
Sandwich, Jamie? How
Diagonally,
do you cut your sandwich?
Like a civilized person.
Good for that a guy. So believe it or not, there's something else that's a little upsetting about the weekend. And I know some people had off yesterday if you're just getting back into the swing of things. Maybe today's the first day back in the office where you get to talk up the great All-Star festivities from the weekend. I had one of the best times watching the All-Star game and the All-Star festivities, Trey, since probably I was a little kid. Like that's how much I enjoyed it. Maybe 12, 13 years old, how much I enjoyed watching this All-Star game.
Doris Burke said it was the best one in 25 years.
Okay. I would be right along there with Doris Burke. The Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons stuff needs to stop. And we've been talking about it all morning. The people that are rooting for it to fail, that needs to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like we were stabbed by one of our own. I felt like we were stabbed by Charles Barkley over the weekend. When I think it was Ernie Johnson during the broadcast where it was Ben and JoJo side by side, he said, for tonight, Ernie Johnson's like, these two will be, going against each other. And then Charles chimes in, well, that's kind of like the regular season, too. I was like, really, Chuck? We're making a joke now about how much Ben and Joe don't like each other, how much they hate each other? Like, that's if Charles Barkley picks up the baton of Ben and JoJo hate each other on a national stage, that means a lot more people will give it credibility. That's how much weight he carries when having an opinion about Philadelphia sports. And I think that part of him is still pissed off because he bet so much money on the Sixers to win it all. He said as much before the season. And I think he has almost a personal vendetta against these two right now. And if he starts rooting against it, and starts being that the champion of the cause, that's where I think other people will start turning their heads and go, oh, there is a bigger problem right now. And that's where the fan starts to get flamed. The flame starts to get fanned. Hey, look, it might seem like dramatic BS off the court, but Trey, It only takes a couple of, you know, whispers in the ear. Oh, hey, you know what? You can do it without this Joel Embiid guy.
Uh-huh.
Joe, you can do it without this Ben Simmons guy. He's holding you back. All right, whatever, shut up. Enough people keep saying it. Things start to hit the fan like they did on that four-game road trip. That happens a couple more times. That's where people start to really think, oh, yeah, maybe I can be better without this guy. Maybe all those people are right. And the last person I need pushing that stupid fake take narrative is Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with it. I don't need it anymore. Tell you that much. Let's get our friend, who do we have here? Mike and Dalran. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I could listen to Bob and Jamie fight for 4 hours straight. Awesome. Listen, here's how we settle it, though. You guys got to pick a win total number, over, under, and the loser has to get a tattoo of the winner's choice.
Wow.
Let's go.
Do either of you have tattoos? You don't have tattoos, do you?
No.
Okay.
It could just be like a fake one for a day, Bob.
No, I think
a henna tattoo.
The henna tattoo. Yeah, I know someone that does the henna thing. I'll get that done.
There you go. Awesome. Right on your forehead.
On the cheek.
I do kind of agree with Bob, though. I understand what he's saying, right? I mean, like you said, last season, I would say they more than drastically improved, and they only won one game. I think they made improvements. I just don't think they made the bigger improvements where they needed to in pitching. I get it. Wheeler's supposed to be better, right? I know he played on the Mets, so the stats are skewed for being on the Mets, but yeah, he had a great second half of the season last year, but at the end of the day, I don't think the bullpen got any better. And with the exception of Wheeler, I just don't think they're better. And he's right. If McCutchen gets hurt and you have no backup plan, if the wheels fell off that bad last year, you know, how bad would they fall off this year?
Right.
So I kind of understand what he's saying. But at the same point, I understand what Jamie's saying. So I think the coach helps. I think the coach is worth 8 or 9 wins on his own over that weirdo last year. I forgot his name already.
Gabe Kapler.
Gabe Kapler. And then the last thing is, if you don't cut your sandwich from corner to corner, your parents are bad people.
Appreciate it, Mike. I feel like if I cut a sandwich for like my nephew, it's down the middle. It's right down the middle, top to bottom, not the, you know, the down the middle, you know, crust at the top, and then the bottom, like, you know what I'm saying?
I always ask.
I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Vertically, not horizontally?
Yeah. I always ask kids, do you want triangles or squares?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's a good way
chances
to put it.
Chances of me making a grilled cheese for lunch today are probably 100%.
I really want a grilled cheese sandwich.
I'm starving right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I put a little hot sauce on
the
side.
You know what I heard is delightful, which I really need to do?
What's that?
The pork roll in the egg cheese. Or the pork roll and the grilled cheese.
Yeah, all right, I'll have one.
Yeah.
I got some leftover pulled pork from the weekend.
Ooh,
we had some family
that's
in town.
Delightful.
We got some barbecue.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be a party. But that's what I'm looking forward to.
What kind of bread, though?
Probably potato bread.
Oh.
Yeah. I like to know you're biting into it. You know what I'm saying? We put up a little bit of a fight. But that's just what I enjoy. But when you look at this this Philly situation right now, I don't hear anybody saying World Series. I don't hear anybody saying division.
No, nobody's that drunk.
Everybody is going along the same lines of, yeah, maybe a wild card. Mm. I'm sorry. Trey, 162-0,
that's
World
right.
Series.
World yeah. Series.
You are the one.
That's right.
So when they
you
win the World Series,
first.
We'll be like, well, Trey said it was going to happen. Right. None of us should be surprised.
I cannot predict losses. Can't do it. Won't do it. Never do it.
Go figure.
Until you start, undefeated.
Mark in Blackwood. What's up, Mark? Yo, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
I can agree with Mike with saying I can listen to Bob and Jamie just argue for a minute. it's fantastic. There's one thing you guys have to realize, too, is when you look at the Phillies themselves improving, look at the rest of the division. Do the Mets get better? Do the Braves get better?
Right.
Do the Nationals get better? And in my opinion, the Nationals didn't really get better. They lost their best player. There's no way they can recover from losing Harper and Rendon back-to-back years. The Braves lost Donaldson, so a little long in the tooth, but still, that's an important piece in their offense. And, you know, they signed Cole Hamels, and he's not going to make the beginning of the year. Who knows how much of an impact he has. So, and the Mets didn't really do anything. They kind of just stayed afloat. So, if you compare the Phillies to the other three teams outside the Marlins, they got better. I would say they got mildly better. Their bench got a little bit better. And there's one guy we have to take a look at who kind of flew under the radar is the outfielder that we picked up from the Dodgers, Kyle Garlick, who looks like he may have been the odd man out since Jock Peterson didn't get traded.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot to take a look at this year. as I said last week when I called in and you guys just said, you know, a lot rides on Hoskins and still on Arrieta, you know, the three, the number three pitcher is very important, you know, as far as, you know, keeping things rolling, and hopefully he's as healthy as he says. So I'm optimistic. Got
all right, no, I was going to say, so how many wins do you see for the Phils then?
I see between 83 and 87 wins.
Okay, so you're not willing to go to the 90. And thanks for the call, Mark. It's tough. Yeah, and believe me, we're obviously factoring in what's going on throughout the division. And if you're paying attention, I think the USA Today had the Braves winning the division with the Nationals second and the Mets and Phillies both at 85 wins. So it's not that far off from what the rest of the country is saying, more or less, about what the Phillies are going to do and what the how the NL East is going to shake out. But when you bring up Josh Donaldson, who I know a lot of people are going to do with the Braves in third base because it's another stellar year and people were even thinking about maybe he comes to Philadelphia. But they have that that kid, Riley. He's 22, 23 years old for
Austin
the Braves.
Riley,
Austin Riley. Who's,
he's potential stud to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrible fielder. But well, actually, he's playing third now, so maybe he'll be better.
Maybe.
In left field last year, he was an abomination.
So that
it was like Rhys Hoskins left field level bad.
So that's kind of who they're looking at right now to take over that Donaldson role. So they're not just letting Donaldson go, but it's because, oh, we don't want to spend the money. It's because they believe, go figure, the Braves feel like they have somebody young who could come up and be a stud, and maybe that's what happens for them. But if you just isolate it here to Philadelphia, and you're thinking about, okay, the Nationals did take a hit. The Braves could have potentially taken a huge hit with Donaldson leaving. And maybe Riley isn't a guy that pans out. Who knows? But if you're looking just the Phillies right now, you have to think that the Phillies did improve from what they had last year. Which is all we're saying is I can all but guarantee that the Phillies are going to be over 500 this year. Now, the injuries will factor in, and we can't predict that. Is it a wise investment, Bob, to go along with your point, to invest in guys that are 32, 33 years old and say, oh, they'll be healthy now coming back this year? No, there's just maybe this is just more of a taste of things to come. I think regardless, Andrew McCutchen, even though he said yesterday that he wants to be ready by opening day, even though I believe it'll be 9 months removed, 8.5, 9 months removed from the actual injury, he says, I'll be ready by opening day. I want to be ready for opening day. That's my goal. If that happens, here's hoping. And nobody's rooting against him, obviously. But even if he is back, I don't think anyone's saying, oh, well, he's going to have another ACL tear waiting for him. No. But even if he plays healthy this year, there's going to be a couple of weeks here and there where you would assume where he's bothered by that hamstring or he's bothered by an ankle or he's bothered by, like, players, even the younger players, get injured is what I'm saying. And you can't rely on somebody who's 33 years old to give you 150 games. And you said 140. Like, I think that's a fair number to go at with Andrew McCutchen. What I know is not a fair number is to talk about maybe the 60 that he played last year.
Yeah. No, he doesn't have a history of injury. No, and people are saying that on Twitter. Yeah, I know that. But he's never been 33 coming back from an ACL and this quickly and all. And look, God, I hope he's there for the whole thing. But Jamie did make a great point in his argument, although he countered himself. Like, when you lost him, the wheels fell off.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford that. And what did they do as a backup to that plan? Nothing. Mm. Like, Jay, I'm being honest here. Like, do you see another guy leadoff hitter on this team if you do lose McCutchen?
I think last year was kind of proven that he didn't have
one. Yeah, that's what sucks. Like, why didn't they hit on that? That bothers me also.
I mean, you'd probably... Didi's not really ideal for it. You don't really have somebody to step into that role, but I just don't think McCutchen's going to get hurt again.
By the way, speaking of guys younger than McCutchen that get injured, the next guy up might be Roman Quinn.
He would be, probably, right? It's hard to count on him.
That's what I'm saying!
But he's going to be platooning a little bit. I mean, Hazy's probably going to start what? Assuming things go right, 110-ish games, maybe 100 games, and then Quinn gets the rest.
Right. Kingery? You're moving to the top of the order guy when he's in the minors. Scotty Jetpacks? All jacked up and whatnot?
I mean, you're right. There is nobody else to slide in, but I just believe McCutchen will be fine.
Right. Oh, yeah. Here's hoping. If that happens,
then we'll all cross our fingers. Oh, here we go. T-Will. What's happening, T-Will?
Yo, Mark, you sound like you just crippled Jamie's argument against Bob going through...
Nope, not at all, T-Will.
Right. Wait. How did I cripple the argument?
I think T-Will's he's been drinking whiskey this morning.
Jamie doesn't want to agree with Bob just because they've been fighting for the last 4 hours.
I just
hours.
Did agree with him.
But Bob made a great point, and you guys, I feel like Jamie glossed over a little bit. Bob said earlier, you can get better and still be 500. So, and he made the point where he said the Phillies got better and they only won one more game than last year.
Right.
We can look at it like the Sixers. Did the Sixers get better this year in the beginning of the year from last year.
Same coach.
And look where they're at now. Look where they're at now. It's basically the same argument. You got better players, and you didn't do anything with it.
Uh-huh.
You're not as good as you are.
Did the Eagles improve? Did the Eagles improve from last year to this year? They have the same record.
You know what's funny, though? It's funny you said that, because I didn't think so, but everyone did, because they got DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
Everyone said, oh, we got DeSean Jackson. We're going to be the best in the league. And you're and here's another argument. You're putting your eggs in one basket in a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver who got hurt. And same thing with McCutchen. You're putting your eggs in one basket in the leadoff guy that is over 30 that potentially could get hurt. There's no way.
Yeah, but everybody, but T-Will, here's where I will go against what people were said about the Eagles, about the Sixers, and now about this Phillies team. Before they've even played a game of the season, I'm not betting on injury. Like, anybody could get injured at any time. Like, I hate it factoring. Oh, okay, well, if this guy gets injured. Well, yeah, everybody playing the game could get injured. So I hate factoring that in. And here's the ultimate if Andrew McCutchen doesn't get hurt last year, I think they're a much better baseball team, and maybe the wheels don't fall off as early as they did.
I don't think so, because they still got the same dreadful pitching staff.
And we knew that going into last year, we knew that.
Right, and you're going into this year with the same thing. Wheeler's only won, like you said, 12 games. You're banking on Wheeler to be that closer to stop the bleeding when you're losing streaks.
We're looking at Nola to do that. Wheeler would be a nice, you know.
Well, you're looking at Nola to have a bounce back year, because last year he was dreadful too.
DeGrom won the Cy Young with 10 wins on the same team. That's not a pitcher stat. It's not.
Okay. Jane, you and I are 81, Jane. 81.
I'm taking the over. We already got a bet of six pack. Our favorite suds.
81. Oh, nice.
This is nice. You guys getting
along.
That's
cute.
T-Will, what do you got? You said it. You too, buddy. Take it easy. So he's got him at 81, too?
And that was the line he set for me. I took the over.
500. So
I'm not saying they're going to win 92 games. I just think they're improved from last year, like 86, maybe 87 at most.
Yeah, I almost want to say just to hell with both of you, 95.
But 86, 87 could get you that wild card. But
that would just be me being a troll, and I don't want to be a troll. I'm being real. I'm telling you, this is a team that can at most win 90 games.
I think that's an absolute ceiling.
If the holdout hopes that I'm not even getting into today, if they even pan out, 90 wins.
They could get to like 92 if, which is a huge if, and I don't think will happen. Jake Arrieta was like, this is a contract year. Let me go out and have a 2.89 ERA, which isn't going to happen.
No.
Ruin today put up there on Twitter just saying that it was tight pants has loosened the pants. He went with the mediums instead of the smalls.
Hey, that could be a big breakthrough.
Really? Maybe that's the day. Maybe that's the moment.
Gotta let the boys breathe a little,
man.
Yeah,
might help you create a little bit more velocity.
Give yourself some room here. You know what, Miranda, go ahead. I'm going to take Miranda right now. Miranda, you got something on grilled cheese?
Yeah, so I wanted to call in. First of all, I'm a longtime listener, first time caller.
Oh, welcome in, Miranda. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Of course, you guys are the absolute best. But my secret for a grilled cheese is I put a little bit of hot honey on it.
Hot honey?
Oh.
I've never had hot honey.
Where do you purchase
hot honey? I got it at Walmart. It's like Mike's Hot Honey. It's where all the rest of the honey is. It has a black pot, but it is to die for. You can put it on pizza and all that other stuff too, but it's like got a little kick to it, but still the sweetness of honey. A little bit of that on the inside, and then I cook it up. Amazing.
Hot honey.
Hot honey.
Hot honey.
I promise. Since you haven't heard of it, you need to get it. It will change your life.
Oh, I see it. It looks like a little nipple top type of deal going on there. Huh.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry. I have to explain it in ways that I can understand. I'm sorry. Yeah, it looks, I'll have that. Sure, I'll eat it.
Yes, it's delicious. Also, I entered the
Courtside
contest.
Oh, did you, Miranda? So, you're looking for love?
or a Courtside game.
That's a good point. Miranda, I like you for your honesty. That's all. All right, and maybe if you go. We'll definitely have you in consideration. Then I'll just make sure that we have all your stuff. And I see pictures right here of people putting the hot honey on what looks like a Sicilian pizza.
Yes.
All right.
The pizza is the absolute best.
I'm going to have to give this a whirl. Miranda, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
All the bases covered, no matter what. Miranda might have, you want to use the word drastically, she might have drastically improved our pizza.
Sounds pretty damn good.
I'm stopping on the way home and getting some of that.
I can't wait to eat grilled cheese for lunch.
So the top looks like a nipple, eh?
Top looks like a nipple. You think I'm kidding? What, I lie to you? Come on now. See that?
Yeah, it does.
The nipple top.
It does.
How else would you describe that?
Yeah, it's a nipple top.
Nipple top
is perfect, Mark.
I don't know.
It's good for boring.
It sounded like you said something different for a second. 610-632-0975. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a party going on this weekend. A party going on this weekend at the Wells Fargo Center. It's part of the Flyers Wives Fight for Lives Carnival. They're 43rd, and we're going to have a couple of the fine Flyers Wives in here in a moment to tell us a little bit more about that. 9 o'clock, John Clark will join us from NBC Sports Philadelphia, live from Clearwater, Florida. Time of the Fanatic, 8:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, we were talking about Valentine's Day and all the wonderful things that we did. I took my wife to a movie. Trey, you and the missus painted each other, I believe.
Yeah, we painted. We
per sources.
Dual canvases, and we had a nice little beautiful heart in the middle of it. It was amazing.
And Bobby, you and Donna?
We took Tommy to see Jurassic World over at the Wells Fargo Center.
That's fair. I saw her.
Had a great meal. She made me, oh my God.
What happened? She made me
an appetizer before we left, which were lollipop lamb chops. And then when we got home, she made me a veal chop.
There you go.
Oh, my God, it was awesome.
All the meats.
Then you got caveman style. There you go.
And then I drug her upstairs.
That's just wonderful. Yeah. Jamie, nice Valentine's Day?
I had 101-point fever, and I slept and sweat.
That's hot.
Yeah,
that's
it was a good time.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm throwing up all over myself. You know who had lovely Valentine's Days, I'm sure? Just wonderful Valentine's Days because they deserve it, because they are just wonderful people. We have met and talked to one of these nice ladies many times before, and we were just meeting another one today.
Yes.
So this is a great day already.
Yeah, it is.
The Flyers Wives Fight for Lives Charity Carnival is going on Sunday, and it's always a party. I've been there a number of times. I can vouch for it myself in person. How great a job the Flyers do, and their Flyers Wives Fight for Lives Carnival is just great. It's Sunday, February 23rd, this Sunday, 11 a.m., and in studio with us right now, Gina, and you are with Shane Goss to spare. You guys have been together for quite some time.
We have.
How many years have you guys been together now?
Going on 6 years.
I've seen them out in public. Adorable couple.
No,
adorable
couple. Seen them out in public.
I have.
They're not hiding away.
They're lovely. They're lovely people. And then with us for the first time, Madison, who's with Ivan Provorov. Madison, welcome in.
Thank you.
I was a little surprised you didn't have a Russian accent. I was a little bit surprised. Now, let me. This is your first Flyers Wives Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you expecting, Madison? What have you heard? Has Gina told you anything? Any mentorship going into your first Flyers Wives Carnival?
They've just told me how much fun it is just getting to be around everyone. And I think the favorite thing that we love to do is make the baskets. The favorite things baskets, so all the guys' favorite things and some of their hockey gear and all that gets put in there.
Very nice. Now Gina, what advice would you have you already given Madison in their approach, your approach to this carnival?
I just let her know it's like a fun time. We raise so much money for some great causes. And it's just, like, great to be around the fans. And it's just nice for them to see a different side of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gina, you said about 6 years you've been with Shane.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you guys meet again?
We went to college together at Union College.
Is there any better love?
Oh.
The college love?
Yeah, college love is beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. Now, what did these nice men do for you nice ladies for Valentine's Day?
Well, they were on the road.
Mm.
Got some flowers.
Tampa, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
They just sent you flowers?
Yeah.
They're back though. They're playing tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Madison, what happened for Valentine's Day?
I got some flowers.
Classic.
All right.
Mm-hmm. With a nice little letter.
And Gina's last name is Valentine.
That's right. That's right.
There should have been a little extra something going on.
But unfortunately, there wasn't. Now, what do the fans like to interact with at this thing? Because whenever I'm walking around, these fans are going nuts, not just to meet the players, but to meet you guys as well. So what's it like being able to interact with the fans?
It's fun. I feel like a lot of fans, they usually just ask questions about the dogs. They care more about the dogs.
I asked you about the dogs. And how are the dogs, by the way?
The dogs are great.
You and Shane do great things. The rescue dogs, no?
Yeah, we do a lot of work with the SPCA here.
Okay. All right. The dogs are great. We've established that. And they all ask you about them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Madison, your fan interaction. I take it you've been to a couple of games. what's it like for you being able to get involved in an event like this where you know there's going to be fans all over the place, not just looking to meet Ivan, but also you?
Well, I think that through social media, like a lot of them just say really nice things to me through there. So it's kind of cool to see them in person and just get to talk to them face to face. It's kind of nice, actually.
Now, I will say, athletes, I don't know if you know this or not, athletes, they usually are, they take out some beautiful women and they lock themselves down with beautiful women such as yourselves. And I mean that as a compliment here. What is the secret? There are guys listening right now that have no confidence, and they want to approach lovely ladies such as yourself, who are wonderful personalities. They're great hosts. They do great jobs at these carnivals. What's the advice to give guys so they're not afraid to go up and speak to women such as yourself?
Just be yourselves.
Mm-hmm. What if myself is a loser?
I can't say that Shane wasn't afraid to come talk to me when we first met.
What's this? You can't say that he wasn't?
Yeah.
He was a little shy?
A little shy.
You're very intimidating. I'm terrified of you. No. Okay, so what happened? How did you coach him through that?
How did I coach Shane through that?
Yeah,
his friends had to coach him through that.
Whoa. Shane had to have his representatives talk to you for him?
I'll say there was a little help from his friends.
It's cool.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works.
When I say guys need confidence, I exclude Trey. He needs zero more confidence than he already has.
I need zero confidence because I walk up in LA. Come on in there. I don't know. Never mind.
There was a sound effect that was supposed to play.
Trying. Screen doesn't work. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's frozen.
I don't know if you guys have heard or not.
It's awful.
I would imagine you've heard because I imagine it's the talk of the town. I am actually going to be more of a participant this year in the Flyers Wives Carnival.
We have heard. The dunk tank, right?
Correct. I don't know if I'm representing.
It's the talk of the town because he has a microphone in front of him every morning. That's why it's the talk of the town.
Are you guys going to be in the dunk tank area at all to maybe offer support?
I mean, I'll try and dunk you.
Yeah.
If that's what you mean by support.
That's what I mean by support, because that would raise awareness, because people would see you down there and be like, I need to be down there. Something's going on down there. And I would have an opportunity to dunk that idiot that won't shut up. So I think that's how that would play out rather well. Again, Flyers Wives Fight for Lives Carnival is going to be coming up. It's this Sunday, 11 a.m., 43rd annual Flyers Wives Carnival. And I do know this is something that not just like Flyers season ticket holders, but everybody, this is something that people really look forward to every single year. Teams good, teams great, teams okay, whatever it might be, people look forward to this moment because there is no organization in Philadelphia that does a better job with fan interaction than the Philadelphia Flyers do. That much I can tell you. You guys know that already. Gina, especially you, have been through so many of these already and done a fantastic job. You usually have at the basket making area that I'm asking you reference, there's usually like 10 of you guys just hanging out there, just putting this stuff together. And if I wanted to get a basket, how does that work? Do I go up and bid on it? How do I get a basket?
Yeah, so they'll put the baskets online, usually a few days ahead of time. So you could go online and bid on the baskets. And then also we're doing a new kind of basket this year where it's going to be more of a raffle where everyone will put in like one or two items signed by the guys. And we're going to raffle that one off this year at the carnival as well.
Mm. Okay, so that's great. So that's how you can get one of those. And how many baskets do you guys make approximately?
Well, we each make one for the guys, so if they have a girlfriend or a wife, we all make one for them, and then we have the raffle basket, and then we also have a wives basket this year, too.
Oh, the wives basket?
Yeah.
So is that okay,
we all put our favorite things in there.
Oh, okay. So I can bid on some.
That's the one to bid on.
That'll be the better stuff?
What are a few of your favorite things?
97.5 The Fanatic. Ooh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.